Agenda Item D, General Discussion. We have several items on here. The first one would be, Columbia River Testimony Follow-Up.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is Ron Warren. I'd like to walk us through some of the responses that Fish Program staff have developed for Mr. Sudar's testimony before you on April 13th, so a week ago during the commission meeting in Olympia. So Mr. Sudar, in general, was seeking commission input and or a favor, not as in a favor, but looking for favorable nod to say that the Columbia River policy would allow 9-inch mesh, large mesh gear in the main stem for the summer Chinook fishery. And as you know, the commission speaks pretty detailed to that issue in the policy. He also had several other statements that I'd like to go through first before I get into the details within the policy. First, he had mentioned that summer Chinook were indeed being held aside from North Falcon. There were approximately 700 to 750 fish set aside for the commercial fishery. That is indeed true in talking to the Columbia River management staff. So that is in the North Falcon models. Whether or not the fishery takes place or not, those fish will remain in there as allocated to the commercial fleet. I was asked to check on the 20,000 fish over Priest Rapids Dam comment that he had made. That too is correct. I was also asked to look into ocean impacts on Columbia River Chinook, to what level they may be taken. I can say that for all sectors, treaty, non-treaty, north of Falcon, south of Falcon, in the SUS section of the southern United States section, approximately 11,000 summer Chinook are taken in those fisheries that are executed. I'll say that Mr. Sudar's testimony, he said that he was going to be asking the Oregon Commission about this very topic and did not want us to make a single determination between one state, so it was an opposing determination. And so you know, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission met yesterday and is meeting today, so I have not had an ability to talk to anybody or have not had staff talk to anybody about this, as if it came up, we don't know what their conversations were or are, so that will have to come later. The other thing I will add is typically if we were to offer a summer Chinook commercial fishery, it would happen in July. So we've got some time to consider this request and further talk about it both internally and with our counterparts in Oregon. So I'll turn my attention now to the Columbia River Basin Salmon Management Policy, C-3620. And I really find a lot of flexibility given to us in the policy, both in the guiding principles, the general policy statements, the specificity within the summer section, as well as in the adaptive management plan itself. So I will keep this as brief as possible. I will tell you that I believe that flexibility exists in the policy to offer a gear type that does take into account its limited impacts on those other stocks. So we were looking at sockeye steelhead stocks that were in the same area while fishing for summer Chinook. The most recent work that was done on, and pardon me, and sturgeon. So the most recent work that was done during last year's fall fishery with large mesh gear is that that was fairly promising work. And I would leave it to the commission to give further guidance if you wanted us. I assume my next step will be wait to allow Oregon to complete their commission process and then talk to my counterpart to see if something came up and to see if Oregon is interested in having conversations.
That sounds to me like a good way to proceed. This is Kim, if that's okay, Vice Chair. How soon would a decision need to be made to prosecute the fishery in the summer? When would you need the decision from the two commissions?
Commissioner Thorburn, thanks for the question. I'm not quite positive. I don't know the exact date we would want to have the fishery, but we can put or execute a fishery within just a few days of notice to the commercial fleet. So I don't think the issue here is the timing of the decision as much as it is the decision itself.
This is Commissioner Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney.
Yeah, Ron, I'd really like to thank you for getting on this and getting back to this so quickly. That's just great work. I'm a little curious, would it be possible or would it be wise or would it be prudent to, for instance, it's not even on the radar screen in Oregon for us to continue on and think about it as a commission in Washington and possibly move ahead with it. And then also a second question would be, you know, this is essentially as I see it, choosing a type of selective gear that we didn't envision when the policy was written. So it seems well within what we were trying to accomplish. However, would we need some public input on that if we were going to do it? And so that pertains to how the timing would evolve around this.
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Just a minute. Ron, would you like to answer or address Commissioner Keeney's question?
So thanks, Vice Chair Carpenter. I would just like to make a statement. I believe that as we went through the North Falcon process and set aside fish for the commercial summer fishery, that the decision to set those fish aside are well within the policy that we have before us. Further comment could be taken at one of the commission or the commission meeting that's set between now and July if we wanted to take some testimony on what the gear type. We don't, gear types are typically not a topic that we take specific testimony on. However, because it's talked about a selective alternative gear type, I think that a presentation on the findings that occurred in Zones 4-5 fall fishery of last year and a recommendation that that be allowed to be used in the summer fishery would be prudent and allow public comment on that for final determination.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
This is Commissioner Keeney again. I think that would be really wise. Just so the whole public is aware, you know, this is based on research. This is based on observations on the issues that occurred in the fall. This is in line with what we were thinking when we created the policy, but it's really good just to get it out there and let people see, you know, why we're making this slight modification. Thank you, Ron.
Great, buddy.
I just wanted to share with the commission that in regard to a summer run fishery, when the policy was formed, there was an attempt to allow for 100% passage of summer runs to the Upper Columbia as they all originate. It's the only stock that 100% of the fish originate in the Upper Columbia River. Only one tributary is meeting escapement goals, and those escapement goals are even being challenged by the Colville tribe as being too low. Last year was the first year in five that we were able to retain a wild fish in a small bubble fishery off the mouth of the Okanagan River, envisioning that we had about 900 to 1,000 fish available for harvest. We have not determined the escapement for this year's fishery and whether or not the Okanagan River is anticipated to reach its escapement goal. All the other tributaries in the Upper Columbia are not reaching escapement goal, and if we execute this commercial fishery, it will most likely eliminate the potential of meeting escapement even in the Okanagan River. So I just want to inform Commission of that circumstance and consider that when you look at authorizing a commercial fishery on summer runs this year.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. First of all, again, thanks to Ron and the staff for coming up with this kind of fact check and also looking at the policy to see about whether flexibility exists. I completely agree with the perspective that if the commission is to do something, there ought to be public comment before any action would be taken. I think concurrency with Oregon is another high-profile matter to deal with. So I think maybe I would suggest that we have a conference call for May 18th, and maybe by that time the staff would know what the attitude of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission would be. Obviously, we can't take public testimony on May 18th, but perhaps a decision could be made on May 18th whether or not to put an agenda item on the June commission meeting where a public testimony could be taken. It would also be interesting to get a few more facts out on the table if Oregon is either looking favorably at this or is waiting to hear what Washington thinks. I think that this information on summer Chinook escapement, more refined numbers on that would be useful. The 20,000 Priest Rapids escapement goal, the answer to that was, is that true? The answer was, yes, it's true. If we could get the numbers, I think there were some assertions that those numbers have been up as high as 50,000 or so, but if we could just get the numbers at Priest Rapids Dam and see what they've actually been. The tributary information that Mr. Grable just spoke to, it would be interesting to take a look at the past 5 or 10 years worth of spawning escapements in those tributaries as pegged against what their individual goals are. I think that there was a couple of other facts that would be interesting relative to the proposal. I think the proposal was for a zones 1 to 5 fishery with either 8 or 9 inch mesh, and I know that Mr. Warren spoke to 9 inch mesh. I don't know if 8 inch mesh makes any difference or not, but maybe if we could hear whether that makes any difference to either the species that are trying to be protected or the take of summer Chinook. I think that there was also some assertion that the recreational throwback mortality exceeds this 700. And it'd be interesting to know if that's really true, if you add up all the wild take and the recreational fisheries below Bonneville Dam and above, whether or not that is accurate or not. And then maybe one more thing. If the individual streams up above are under escaped, what would be the impact to those streams if there was such a fishery. So, all in all, that's a lot of requests, but if on May 18th we find out that Oregon is considering it, I think it's worthy of some more discussion.
A couple
Commissioner
questions.
Thorburn?
Commissioner Thorburn.
Yeah, just a question for Ron. A process question about north of Falcon. Is this issue of upriver escapement considered when a decision like this is made by the co-managers at north of Falcon?
Commissioner Thorburn, yes. So what happens on this particular stock is that a river mouth run size is determined, and then a run size over Bonneville is determined, both of which lead you to allocations set in the policy. So allocations set from the mouth to Priest, the 80-20, and then above Priest by the run size above Priest Rapids from the mouth to Priest. Is then set for recreational allocation above Priest Rapids Dam. So both of those are taken into consideration during the North Falcon process.
Thank you.
Ron, this is Larry Carpenter. I have a couple of questions. I was not in attendance at the meeting. This 750 summer run fish that you speak of, is this a quota fishery? That's the first part. The second part is, how many potential or hypothetical gillnet vessels and fishermen do you anticipate would be participating? And if the quota number is 750 fish, I'd like to know a little bit more about the economic analysis of that at some point, perhaps in the June meeting.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Carpenter, thanks for the questions. It would have to be a quota fishery to make sure that we were staying within the preseason allocation and number that was identified to assure that we meet the other objectives. Relative to the economic analysis, we have not had the time in the week since the questions to do any further work, but would do that in future meetings when we brief the commission.
Thank you, Ron. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Keough. Thanks, Ron, again, for your good response to the request made at the commission meeting. So this might, you may have answered this in response to Commissioner Thorburn's question, but so these commercial impacts that were set aside during the North of Falcon process, was the understanding that those would be used with alternative gear? I mean, kind of what was the thought process in setting these aside? Was that the idea that you would use these with alternative gear? That's the first question.
So, Commissioner Keough, thank you. The answer is yes, they were set aside with the thought process as since the initiation of the policy, each year those fish are set aside. Policy reads something to the effect of if they're not used, they go upstream for utilization in other fisheries or to the spawning grounds.
Okay, so that was the second part of my question then, and you already answered it, so thank you. And well, maybe one last follow-up. So right now, as far as the alternative gear is concerned, there's no real plans to use any alternative gear, i.e. beach seine or purse seine for the summer fishery?
That was not in any plans that we had initiated thus far, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions by commissioners? Hearing none. Ron, thank you. Good report. I'm sure more to follow. Is that yes. Commissioner McGeiser?
Yeah, one last thing, Mr. Vice Chairman. So can we expect to hear more of this on May 18th? More about this on May 18th then?
Commissioner McIsaac, this is Ron. Yes, I will. We'll do our best at pulling this information together and getting it out in advance to talk more about this topic on the 18th.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Next item is the director of recruitment discussion. Brad, who do you are you going to lead this?
Yeah,
do
you have Jay, you want to tee that off?
Sure. So the selection committee appointed by the commission met yesterday, and indeed narrowed down the longer list of applicants to 7 best qualified that we would like to have for interviews with the full commission. There was some conversation from the public as to why we were keeping it confidential, so we reminded them that the commission can choose to keep the director application materials confidential. According to the Public Records, under the Public Records Act, application materials are public records. However, an exemption, which was RCW 4256-252, provides that an agency may exempt from disclosure all applicants for public employment, including the names of applicants, resumes, and other related materials submitted with respect to an applicant. And that's what the commission had decided to do. And we also just covered real quickly that based on past commissions, we were following in that line of thought. They were concerned that a fully public process would potentially limit certain candidates who did not want their current employer to know they were applying for another position, and that we believed a broad candidate pool was more important than public airing of the individual applicant. So having covered that, we proceeded to tally the thoughts and opinions from the commissioners on the selection committee and narrow the field down to 7. Is there anything anybody wants to add to that?
No, just that we did have a good pool. I think the numbers and the diversified nature of the pool was stronger than the previous ones. So I think we had a good number of people to select from.
Commissioner Baker here.
Commissioner Baker.
The only thing I would add is that the commission, for all the reasons that Jay stated, has decided to keep the initial round of applicants confidential. That is out of respect to the applicants, but they have every opportunity, if they would care to let people know that they've applied. And I think from some of the correspondence we've been getting that has occurred. There's nothing wrong with that, but we made this decision, and it's similar to the way that this has been handled in the past. Other than that, other than the actual names and resumes of the applicants, we are doing this in the most open and transparent way possible.
Yes, and in addition, we have not made any decision. We think that's up for the full commission. You know, after we interview the 7 applicants, whether, if there's something, some person that stands out just above heads and shoulders above everything, we may be able to make our decision. But if not, we could also schedule a second round of interviews. I think that's for us to decide as a commission after we complete the first round process.
Okay, Mr. Vice Chair, this is...
Commissioner Keogh.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thank you, committee members, for the excellent work. I guess my question is when will the rest of the commission get to know the identity of the 7 candidates that made the cut?
I'm planning to send that to you at the conclusion of this.
And Tammy, I think it's prudent that not just the names, but all the documents that, their resumes, their applications, so commissioners have time to look through those on their own separately. Of course, not get into any decision or discussions about those with other commissioners, but if that seems prudent, I would suggest that commissioners have time to sit and look at those before we do interviews. And there's nothing wrong with them seeing all the rest of the applicants that came in as well.
So, Tammy, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat what you said?
Yeah. At the conclusion of this call, Bob, I will be sending all of you the 7 resumes along with the document that outlines the corresponding letter And then I'm also sending you the audio from the discussion that the recruitment committee we had yesterday. If you want to listen to their discussion, it will also be attached.
Okay, thank you.
And if any of you want to see all of the 19, let me know. I'm happy to share those as well.
Any other discussion or question?
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman, and thanks again to the small group that did this filtering exercise. That's a tremendous amount of work and greatly appreciated. I see that we have set when these interviews will occur, and so if the small group is putting together the interview question strategy and the interview questions and the interviewing schedule, if you could keep the rest of us in mind in terms of giving a little opportunity to look that over before we get together, it'd be greatly appreciated.
This is Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker.
Thanks for that sort of question, Don. I volunteered to take a first run at a series of questions, only to get us started. I certainly don't plan to do the final tally of the questions, but I'm going to be working on that this weekend, and we'll try in that endeavor to also integrate the themes, some of the themes that we received both from the employees and from the general public. I hadn't considered then, and we haven't gotten, so this is a good time to make that decision, whether I would be forwarding whatever I come up with just out to the recruitment committee. I guess I sort of thought that I'd send it to all of us and can do it either way. But by early to mid next week, let's just say Tuesday, I should have a set of proposals to go to either the four of us or the nine of us. I also will be talking to Susan in our HR department just to make sure there's no questions with any of the questions, and would include our ABLE staff person, Tammy, in that, but she's going to be on a beach in Mexico.
And one other thing, Barbara, also including the thoughts that we had with the diversity committee or panel.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Commissioner Keene.
Oh, just real quickly, I believe that those questions or those draft questions should go to the full commission at this time. Everybody, you know, might have some opinions on things that they've heard as important questions or characteristics that we're looking for. And I think that would just be, there's not a need right now to just work in a subcommittee, but just the full commission. And also, the diversity committee sent us a great amount of material of potential questions. And when we talked with them, we realized, you know, we couldn't ask all of those or would take up an entire interview. So we asked them to kind of prioritize some of their questions. So in that case, in your draft questions, you might have, you know, several questions that the diversity committee provided to us, four or five, and say we need to narrow it to two, and can the full commission consider which are the ones that are most important, something like that.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, Jay, I think when we look at some of the questions that we've already had, some of the from previous go-arounds, some of those diversity questions will be there. So it's, yeah, it's a matter of just editing it down. But, yeah, you're right. And I second also the thought that this should go out to the whole commission. Yeah.
Very good.
With the caveat that we can't end up with a document that has 30 questions. We'll never get through an interview. So.
Yeah, and I think along those lines, we should probably be thinking at least that, you know, as I understand it, if we have seven candidates, you know, there might be four or five in the first long day and two or three in the second short day. You know, I believe we need to give ample time, but an hour per interview is probably what we'd be looking at. And Tammy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's about what we did in past situations like this, and you know, there's time in between that you need to regather your thoughts between candidates. So that's about the time I think we'll have in this first round of interviews.
Right. Any other comments?
I have a comment regarding sending the questions to all of you. That's fine. Just a reminder about all of you responding to all of you. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be one person that likely can incorporate all of the comments that you all will provide. I'm happy to do that, even from the beach in Mexico. That's fine with me. I just, as a reminder, do not respond to all with your comments.
And Councillor Freymeyer, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And Barbara, I would suggest a due date on it because, you know, if people look at it and they think it's fine but don't answer back, that's considered their input.
Yeah, I think this will work out. The only thing that I'm trying to be cognizant of is the same thing that was already mentioned, which is we do need to get everybody's main points and not have so many questions that we'll be spending half a day with each applicant. That hour goes quick when you're in an interview. I'm also, Tammy, absolutely fine with working with you if that's really what you want. But we could work through Susan here as well. If you want to take a real vacation, I hate to have you put on the spot like that here in an open public meeting, but it's kind of a big ask to ask you to be dealing with all this because it might be a lot when you are trying to get away.
I think
we can handle it is my point.
I think it'll be okay. I mean, I'd just as soon know what's going on than not. To have to come back and pick up the pieces may be more difficult. So we can talk about it, Barbara, but just a reminder, send it to one person, not all of you, would be the key.
Okay, more on that to come then. But we will have an initial draft coming out to you by early to mid next week at the very latest.
And as far as scheduling interviews and such, I was planning to send all of the information to all of you and then give you all a few days to look through all of this, see if you had any questions before I started contacting folks. So that was what I was envisioning, just in case there was any questions after the whole session with everybody.
Sounds like we have our arms around it. Good work. Okay, hearing no other discussion on that, I will move to the future meeting planning discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Commissioner Graybill.
Mr. Graybill.
I have on my calendar interviews to be conducted starting on Friday, May 11th, and I didn't know what time these were going to start because I'm just getting back, and I just need to plan my travel.
I would
to plan, Olympia.
I would plan to start at 8.
Okay.
We were waiting
all right
to find the number, how many were moving forward, but I would plan to be in Olympia at 8.
And that's at the DoubleTree, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other discussions or questions on that item before we end? Hearing none, future meeting planning discussion?
Commissioner Thorburn.
Mr. Thorburn.
Vice Chair. Before we move to future meeting planning, there was one other item, and we had a request from Francine, the facilitator of the WAG, to have commissioners meet with them, maybe on a regular basis, but at least at the upcoming meeting in Spokane, my recollection, that's May 2nd, 3rd. She was hoping, I think, for a call from a commissioner, and we didn't really resolve that. We said we'd talk about it on this. I did check my calendar. Quite frankly, I don't want to sit through 2 days of WAG meetings. They're a little processy for me. But I'd be happy to talk to Francine and go, you know, when she'd like a commissioner plugged in, if that works. But are there other commissioners? How do we want to handle this?
This is Commissioner Baker.
Commissioner Baker.
I wanted to just point out that upon rereading and then rereading again her invitation, she is looking, and I think extremely appropriately so, for more sort of ongoing commission involvement in WAG meetings. But she's also asking a question, and it was asked in both paragraphs of her request, which is she wants us to be able to give them some guidance or at least engage in
right.
a discussion about
right.
roles and responsibilities. That,
yeah.
I've asked for that, a briefing for that on a blue sheet, and I don't know if I wouldn't feel comfortable going in this really sensitive arrangement that we have and expounding too much on that until we have talked about it in a public meeting and gotten our briefing. But I just wanted to make it clear that it's not only ongoing presence, but it is dialogue, and I think we need to be careful and correct because this is a sensitive topic.
But there, I mean, there's a difference between roles and responsibilities of an advisory committee and our roles and responsibilities.
That's true. This is an issue where we have, to some extent, delegated, but I think maybe the limits of that are what's being requested here, and how and what we will do with where they're going in their beginning their post delisting work. So it's all kind of coming up, and I just wanted to make that point. I certainly can't go to the meeting in Spokane.
I mean, as an advisory committee, their responsibility with delisting is to come up with advice on what. The world is going to look like after the wolves are delisted. It will be our decision, as it is with any listed classified species, to make the decision about when to delist, and that we are going to, or at least to provide guidance to staff to, you know, start the rulemaking and SEPA to delist. I mean, those lines seem to me to be fairly clear. They're not going to delist the wolf. They're going to give us ideas about the processes that will follow that delisting.
This is Commissioner Caney, as well as the commission is in the lead on what the post-delisting management plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
We're glad to take their advice and their
exactly.
hard work that they've completed, but we just have to make sure we understand the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is a timely discussion with the WAG, and I think, you know, we do need to sort of take the reins and be clear about what these roles and responsibilities are. This is very different than developing a procedure for non-lethal and lethal control of individual wolves taking cattle. We are now getting into very clear policy decisions that belong to the commission. And so, you know, as they proceed with this, I think it would be helpful to the WAG for them to really be clear that they are providing advice on what the process is going to look like. But these decisions legally are our responsibility. The law is very clear.
Any other discussion?
Well, I do think it is a good idea for us as a commission, as commissioners, to occasionally, especially if these meetings are in our neighborhood, to attend and start to possibly hear more. The best thing about the WAG has been its success in conflict resolution, which of course is its purpose. And so at least going forward for the next couple of years or however long when they are in Olympia, I will do the same thing you're talking about, Kim, is at least make an appearance and see if I can be of any help.
Mm-hmm. Brad, Chair Smith? I'm going to have to get off the call now, and if someone else could wrap it up and bring it to
closure,
I would appreciate
it. Got you, Larry. Yeah. Okay. You take care.
Bye, Larry. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah. So that brings us, I guess, to the end of the what's on the agenda. Any other thoughts?
Actually, Mr. Chair, this is Bob.
Yeah.
I just real quickly, I just wanted to follow up at the April Fish Commission meeting. I indicated that I was going to draft a blue sheet request for the commission's consideration during today's call. However, after the meeting, I spoke with Tammy, and she let me know that Nate was already had something in the works. I had an excellent conversation with Nate. Apparently, he has spoken to some of the other commissioners about the pinniped issue and kind of I already had some thoughts about a presentation. After speaking with Nate, and he sent a follow-up email to me and a couple of other commissioners, I just want to let folks know that I'm withdrawing that blue sheet request, and Nate is moving forward with a presentation in August. At that time, I do think, and we talked a little bit about this at the April meeting, it would be good for the commission to come up with a brief statement concerning the ongoing pinniped efforts on the Columbia and potentially, you know, future actions in Puget Sound in connection with orca recovery. So just wanted to let folks know that, and that's all I had on that topic.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Commissioner Keogh.
Hey, Brad, this is Commissioner Baker again.
Yeah.
Just for in the public interest piece, there, Raquel has arranged a hazing outing for next Wednesday, and so if any other commissioners are interested in going down to Bonneville and hazing sea lions, I'm sure you'd be welcome to join us.
Boy, I'd like to, but I can't, but that sounds like fun. Or interesting, not fun.
Commissioner McIsaac?
Yes, go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me follow up on Commissioner Keogh's comments there and thank Nate Pamplin for putting together that email that described what a potential August agenda item might be on pinnipeds and all that good information. But let me also echo his perspective that at that agenda item, it's important to take public testimony and have the commission come up with something that approaches a position on pinniped control, or what is the commission's policy perspective on pinniped control. We've got that three governor letter, and we've got the hazing activity that's just spoken to that's already occurring. And so there is an outstanding question about, well, what is the commission's policy on this? So if we could just be sure and not forget that in that August presentation. On the matter of the June agenda, we ended up the meeting with supplanting Thursday's business with the interview of the final interview of the candidates. And so there's some important things that were on Thursday's agenda for June. Workshop matters, delegation of authority, budget and legislative matters associated with the proviso, fish committee meeting. And so I think on May 18th, that's about a month before the June commission meeting,
that that would be adequate in terms of public notice and commissioner and staff alert as to what would be coming on the agenda so that we could prepare for that. So maybe on May 4th as a beginning, but certainly by May 18th, if we could urge staff to take a look at coming up with a draft that does take into account these interviews and takes into account the other highest priority policy decision-making that the commission should be involved in for the June commission meeting. And that by the time we get to May 18th, maybe we can get to some solidity on that.
Sure. Any other questions? I think, yeah, I agree on the statement. And I think that's timely also with the killer whale task force. I think, you know, that sort of input would be appropriate. So that first meeting is on the task force is May 1st. So. Any other thoughts? Okay, well, hearing none, I'll bring the conference call of Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission to a close for, what is the date?
The 20th.
April 20th. And thanks, everybody, and have a good weekend. It's supposed to be sunny out there, so get out and play.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.